Has inherent musical worth. I'm not going to play anything just for kitsch sake. I'm not going to play anything that is so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So anything I play tonight, I really like.
Now, I may not be bound by those
rules.
No,
that's all right. That's fine.
Just to make that clear, I'm a guest DJ for the evening.
Oh, and by the way, my guest Borgo Pass joining us once again. You come in at Easter and Christmas and some other times.
I do.
It's great to have you back. Halloween show.
Thank you.
It's good to be back.
Halloween is the big show that we do, but I get a little...
You hit the holidays.
I hit the holidays. I get a little high around Easter time. I get my Catholic on.
Cool.
You know, I'm not a Catholic anymore, but I grew up there, and it still resonates.
Same here.
The bells and smells. You're never going to lose it altogether.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed... maybe we should call it the Easter Eggstravaganza.
Easter Eggstravaganza. I like that.
Eggstravaganza.
I like that. I'm fighting the temptation to kneel as you're talking about, you know, your past, your Christian past.
I know you were an altar boy.
I was an altar boy, Mm-hmm. I was an altered boy.
You were an altered altar boy, and I can even tell you the name of the priest. I can.
You remember this?
Father Murphy.
Yes, Father Murphy, who did the entire mass.
High-speed mass.
20 minutes. Beginning now, and that is not an exaggeration, folks. And any of my friends from Catholic school in Philly who are listening, are probably like, yeah he's right. Murphy. He really did it. It's 20 minutes. You know, he just
Murphy
plowed through
ruled.
It. Yeah.
And you're going to try to be better now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I remember this from last year.
When you went into confession, the standard response was, I'm going to try to do better now.
Trying to do better now.
And he agreed for you. So it was, you're going to try to do better now.
Get the idea that Murphy just kind of wanted to clear out of there.
Yeah, he was
ASAP.
He was a huge fat man with a crew cut hair, like snow white crew cut hair, and the fastest priest in the parish. And we had a huge parish. My elementary school was apparently the largest Catholic elementary school in Philadelphia at
Whoa.
That time. So yeah, I mean we had
Irish
tons of services.
Or Italians,
yes.
Or everybody.
Irish and Italians.
Irish and Italians.
Yeah. And some other people thrown in.
Yeah.
Some Germans, some Polish, you know.
I didn't know how Irish my upbringing was until my non-Irish friends, particularly mm-hmm. the one I married, pointed out to me that having such experiences as getting together with my friends Pat and Mike on the weekends and going to drink Guinness at a pub called the Four Provinces. This is not just generic American youth. This is specifically Irish Catholic American youth. Yeah, it's kind of what the world was.
Well, you know, all that reminds me of one other thing that we are doing tonight, and that is we are raising money for WMFO. This is the WMFO donation drive. And I do want to hit on that. I don't want it to be completely separate from what we're doing on the show because WMFO allows me the opportunity to come in here mm-hmm. with complete creative freedom mm-hmm. to do whatever kind of show I want. It's a freeform station, and that's really rare today.
Yeah.
And normally, classic rock mine, I come in and I play obscure classic rock that you're not going to hear anywhere else. But on the holidays, especially when you come in as a co-host, we tend to do something a little different, a little more intellectual, a little more, you know, maybe
pushing the envelope a little
that I don't think would find a home on commercial radio.
And just God bless college radio, I have to say. This is not my gig. Mike just invites me on for fun every now and again, but there must be a place for college radio on the airwaves. Where else are you going to be surprised by what happens?
Exactly.
Where else are you going to have yourself challenged and have your ears awakened a little bit?
Yeah, it's never boring on WMFO.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in donating, and I really hope my regular listeners will step up to the plate, because you can donate in the name of Classic Rock Mine, mm-hmm. which is always good. You can go to WMFO.org, or you can go to donate.wmfo.org. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of prizes you can get depending on your donation level. There's stickers, there's t-shirts, they're giving away vinyl. You can have dinner with the executive board of the station. Yeah. So
can somebody get dinner with you? Dream date with Mike Conway?
If you get enough money, I'm sure they'll let you have dinner with me.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money I'm worth, though.
What about t-shirts? Do you have Classic Rock Mine t-shirts?
No.
You should have your own merchandise.
Hey, man, what are you putting me on the spot on the air?
I'm just saying.
Ixnay on the...
On the air nay.
On the air nay.
On the air a.
Urche.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. But I don't.
But first, you'd have to have listeners.
Oh, hitting close to home. Prove him wrong, folks. Prove him wrong.
Please do. Support Classic Rock Mine. Support WMFO.
And support the show that you're about to hear, which is us, here on WMFO.
You ready for something cool?
Yeah, let's do it. What do you got for us? Or do you just want to send it in with no intro?
Well, we're going to try something on Classic Rock Mine. Wait a minute. We're going to put together side one of the famous Jesus Christ Superstar using
My Mind Is Clear.
Different sources.
Covers.
Awesome.
Start with this one.
Great idea, man.
At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all. You really do believe
Don't you mind about the future? Don't you try to think ahead? Save tomorrow for tomorrow. Think about today instead. To know why you're obsessed with fighting time and weight, you can defy. If you knew the past we're writing, you'd understand it less tonight. While you're plowing through your supper, where, who, and how? She alone has tried to give me what I need right here and now.
What's up, 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 what's up to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try,
we'll be right back. Kayapa sama, soba ni kite masu.
Kayapa sama, Roma no hei yo.
Iya, mate. Mondai wa moto kara kaiketsu se neba.
Thank you. t'aime, moi je t'ai salué, et je crois en toi, en Dieu, dis que je suis sauvé. Tu sais que je t'aime, moi je t'ai salué, et je crois en toi, en Dieu, dis que je suis sauvé.
Je suis là avec toi.
Te dise pour le croire que tu as réussi et que tu es fort, aussi fort que toute cette racaille qui nous terrorise et nous porte la mort. Ajoute un peu de haine pour Rome. Tu auras le plus grand des pouvoirs sur les hommes et sur les hommes. Tu as la puissance et la gloire pour toi et pour tous ceux qui t'aiment. Tu auras la puissance et la gloire pour toi et pour tous ceux qui t'aiment.
Tu as la puissance et la gloire.
È fantastico vederti a tu per tu. Non si parla che di te, delle tue virtù. Lui risveglia chi non vive più. E adesso scopro che sei Dio.
Vabbè,
lo dici tu.
Sei Jesus Christ, sei la mitica star. Mostrami la tua magia, cambia l'acqua in malvasia. Se tu lo farai, tu mi convincerai. E dai, re dei giudei. Jesus, non ti immagini il successo che hai fra noi. Sei più celebre di un re, più grande degli eroi. No, che peccato se tu fossi un blef. E poi ci mostrerai la forza che c'è in te. Tu sei Jesus Christ, sei la mitica star. Tu mi meraviglierai se sull'acqua danzerai. Se mi divertirò, io ti libererò. E dai, re dei giudei. Sto aspettando che mi stupirai. Muoio dalla voglia di sapere ciò che fai. Se tu sei Jesus Christ, la mitica sta. Questo pane basterà per sfamare la città.
Qualcosa non va? Cosa aspetta la star?
Ma dai, re dei giudei.
Dalla mia vita!
Steve Morse, of course, from Dixie Dregs fame, and now
Deep Purple,
and now playing with Purple.
Well, now he's been with them, like, I think he's their longest standing guitar player.
Is he?
Yeah, because he's been with them so long.
I thought Blackmore was back with Purple at this point. Is that wrong?
Ooh,
maybe I made that up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be embarrassed for not knowing.
No, I'm lying. I think Ian Gillan is back with Purple, but maybe
that I'd believe.
Yeah, maybe Morse on guitar. Oh, just confirmed. Ian Gillan back with Purple, not Blackmore.
Great.
We've got, it's an 8-minute long guitar solo that he plays mid-Deep Purple concert. Steve Morse, such an instrumental talent. He just kind of steps out into the limelight and starts doing all kinds of magical things on that guitar.
Cool, and throws in Jesus Christ Superstar
riff. And throws in that little riff there. Which,
love that.
Yeah.
Now, we played a boatload of Jesus Christ Superstar covers, many international takes, some from international versions of the film, some from just international musicians who covered Jesus Christ Superstar. So we
I don't honestly know if they're just YouTube musicians or if they're people who have albums. I just we were kind of grabbing stuff that we thought was quality takes.
We heard King Herod in Italian, Heaven on Their Minds from Jesus Christ Supernova, the heavy metal soundtrack.
It's Jesus Christ Supernova, I love that.
Simon Zealots in French, Hosanna in Spanish, This Jesus Must Die in Japanese. Someone by the name of Joey Fuller gave us Everything's All Right. And I do not have
the
artist for What's the Buzz.
Oh, What's the Buzz?
An artist by the name of Track gave us Heaven on Their Minds.
That was very good. T-R-A-Q is that guy's name.
And we opened the show.
Or his band, maybe.
We opened the show with the original London production, Pilot and Christ, which is the first scene of the two of them together.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good way to introduce the show.
I think this is on stage right now. Something is telling me that JC Superstar is getting a revival and that it's back up on stage.
I'd believe it.
I think it might be in London as we speak.
Cool. There's been a number of revivals and stuff, and Broadway productions and touring productions.
Yeah, but not always good.
Regional productions and international productions. And it's funny, in collecting the music that, I've collected over the years for Classic Rock Mine, I'll be collecting and I'll find, like, you know, there's a band in Australia, Bakery. Early 70s, hard rock band.
That's the name of the band, Bakery.
Yeah, extremely popular in Australia. They were the band in the Australian Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh.
In the Philippines, there's a band, I think it's the Juan de la Cruz Band.
Wow.
They were the band in the Philippine production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
You're
so
a
like
font
every
of
country
knowledge.
Had a licensed production that toured that country, and all those musicians were professional musicians from that country. They weren't a bunch of hacks.
Yeah, yeah.
They just never got airplay here.
Yeah. And I remember from last year when we did this that you were pointing out that Weber and Rice were pretty particular about who was able to put on their show and who wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. If you were like a random high school in Iowa and they heard of it, they would not let you do it.
Which I guess I respect. It's quality work. You don't really want to hear it just tossed around.
Right. I don't think it was a financial thing. I think it was a quality thing that they wanted this mounted correctly. As opposed to like Godspell, where like every church youth group put up Godspell, and I don't think anybody bothered to
think anybody even noticed.
Gave them a hard time. Nobody could tell the difference. Yeah. That's the problem.
It's kind of like Muzak. It might have been there in the background. You're not entirely sure. But I know you're a Superstar fan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's my sweet spot of music, man. It's like, it's killer.
71?
I think the London Brown album was 70, I believe.
Man.
But I'm not certain.
I
should know these things.
That's
off
all right.
The top of my
head. I'm just remembering that 71 is your favorite spot for classic rock.
Yeah, 70 was the Brown album. So it was probably, and depending on when it was released in 70, it was probably produced in 69 and 70.
Yeah.
One would think.
It's got that feel. It's right on the edge of being funky 60s and heavy 70s. It's not metal yet, although we heard a cool metal cover.
Yes, yeah.
Tonight.
The Supernova.
Yeah, the Supernova. I thought they handled that really nicely. But the original has, we haven't actually heard any of it tonight, but everybody's heard it before. The original has that both that 60s groove, I think that's a good way to put it, especially with that fantastic bass. It's just walking up and down the neck all the way through the album. A real pleasure to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also got the hard-hitting, gutsy guitar.
Yeah.
It makes you really feel it.
Yeah, very cool stuff. I love the Brown album. Love it, love it, love it. I think I told you this in the past, that I tried to stage it in grade school.
You tried to stage it?
Yes, me and my friend Paul, if Paul's listening, we tried to stage it. We cast it. I think we were in fifth grade or sixth grade.
Okay.
And we did some after school rehearsals, and then it sort of petered out and went nowhere. But like it was all lip synced. So like, you know, the teacher let us bring in our copy of vinyl, and they let us use one of the school, one of those giant, you know, turntable things with the, you know,
the close and play.
You're right. Yeah, basically the giant industrial close and play.
Right. Back in the day.
Yep. And we lip synced it and had a lot of fun.
You do know that you just said Paul petered out.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Close enough.
Hey, man. Subconscious mind always working.
More than coincidence?
I certainly hope so.
How's Easter looking at your house, by the way?
Easter is going to be on the road in my house. We are traveling down to see Grandma.
Oh, that would explain why we're doing the
Easter show
Easter
one week before Easter.
Extravaganza, right, a week before.
Yeah. And to coincide with WMFO's pledge drive.
Good opportunity for you to pitch the pledge drive
right
there.
Yes, and I should pitch the pledge drive and not plitch the pledge drive.
Yeah, let's start that one again. What do I hear about MFO needing some funds?
WMFO is raising money, gang, and this is your opportunity to show your support for the station. There are a number of ways to donate. The easiest thing for you to do is to go to donate.wmfo.org.
That's donate.wmfo.org.
And you can see all the different layers that you can pledge at, all the levels you can pledge at, all the premiums you can receive. You can get tote bags, and you can get vinyl, and you can get t-shirts, and all kinds of stuff. And we will take as little money as you can give, and as much money as you can give.
Mm-hmm.
So please, donate in the name of Classic Rock Mine. My listeners out there, any of my listeners who have a day job, support Freeform Radio on WMFO.
Give
because
them a little
Easter
egg.
Yeah.
I was reading in the Boston Globe this morning about the, this is clearly an entirely secular way to celebrate Easter.
Yes.
I wish I had the article in front of me, but there's some, around town, there's a place where you can go hunting Easter eggs, and a guy dressed in an Easter rabbit suit will try and interfere with you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's like, it's for adults. Like you all run for the eggs at the same time. And
right.
He acts like a goalie. You know, the rabbit keeps getting in your face, knocking the eggs out of the way. There's a limited amount of time before you can get the eggs back.
And wow.
So it's like Easter bunny interference or something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Are your kids, do they celebrate?
They do. I mean, both of my kids are atheist. My 10-year-old and my 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because I'm an atheist. My wife's an atheist, although we do attend a Unitarian church.
Mm-hmm.
But half the people in the congregation are atheists, and mm-hmm. the minister is fine with that. It's a very, you know, it's a very you approach.
I thought your wife was a believer.
No, not really.
No.
If I'm wrong, call the station, dear wife of mine, if she's listening. let's just say if she is an atheist, she's less of an atheist than I am.
Okay.
I'm a card-carrying atheist.
Yeah.
She's a card-carrying UU. But yeah, for a while, my 10-year-old a few years ago believed in the big peanut in the sky.
Big peanut in the sky.
Yeah, and that was his way of calling BS on, like, a deity.
He wasn't falling for it.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, he will freely admit that that was the concept behind the great peanut in the sky.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, we try to live right, and we have a strong sense of social justice, and
yeah.
you know, but
yeah,
we are.
You don't have to excuse it.
Secular humanist, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we are. And I was raised Irish Catholic, 12 years of Catholic school, you know, so I know what I'm rejecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I'm on that page as well. I'm also atheistic because of my rationalism. I just haven't found, but I've searched for evidence-based reasoning that would lead in a theistic direction. I haven't mm-hmm. found it. But I remain fascinated by Christianity. As I say, Catholicism will always mean a lot to me,
mm-hmm.
and the question of the historicity or not of Jesus itself is one that I've spent the last decade doing a lot of research on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not atheistic out of indifference or out of contempt.
I found it to be really
moving, thrilling, inspiring in many ways. I just don't think it's literally true. And, you know, I think it's as far as I can tell, this is a mythical structure. But that doesn't exhaust my interest by any means.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, I think you'd agree that I'm not, like, judging someone who has sincere belief.
Of course not.
I mean, I had an aunt who was very, very close to me and very important to me, and she was the most religious person I've ever met, including my father, who went to the seminary for years before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my dad was in the seminary for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then he dropped out and got married and became a prison guard, which is an interesting career choice after leaving the seminary.
That part I did know.
But my aunt's faith was so deep and so sincere, yet she read, like, the Utney Reader and The Nation.
Mm.
And she had an open intellectual mind and a deep religious faith in Christ and in her Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
So I don't mock people for their belief system. I just don't believe.
Yeah.
Just the fact that our language can't even express it better than it's a belief. Well, then it's not real if it's a belief.
It's an assertion.
My kids believed in Santa Claus. That didn't make it real.
Can't prove it doesn't exist.
Santa Claus?
You anti-Santa Clausist.
I know, I'm an anti-Santa Clausist.
What, have you been everywhere in the universe?
Yes, I have.
You've proven there's no Santa?
And I can remember getting into, not an argument, but I was having a discussion with my mom, and she was getting really upset.
Because she's a strong believer.
Yeah, she is a strong believer, and not an intellectual woman by any stretch. But she kept getting to the fact, well, you know, who invented the universe, and who started everything?
Right. Question begging.
Yeah, and I'm like, no one. Well, what happens when you die? Nothing. And this, like, look of terror on her face.
Yeah. That, well, you can understand that.
Oh, I do understand, and I felt bad for being so blunt, but to me, it was a cut-and-dry argument, you know, because there is no rational basis.
Well, it's question begging. Who invented the universe is sneaking your premise into what seems to be a question, because you're assuming that universes are invented.
Right.
And you're assuming that that is done by an agency.
Yeah.
Neither of those things has been demonstrated, so it's actually a non-question.
I mean, I consider myself, separate from religion, I consider myself a Taoist in terms of a philosophy.
No, that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I've read a lot of Taoist thought. Complete Reality School of Taoism, which is a specific, somewhat intellectual school of Taoist thought, and they believe in the premise of the uncaused cause. That's okay. How they explain how everything started. But they don't mean it literally. They mean it as a metaphorical construct with which to, you know, get things started. Because they don't know. You know,
I was going to say, any evidence for the uncaused cause?
No, not
any
at all.
More than there's God evidence?
No. No, but it's not a deity. It's not a system of worship.
Yeah.
You don't pray to the uncaused cause.
Right.
You don't look to the uncaused cause for
guidance or
for guidance or enlightenment or yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, that's why I consider the Taoist concepts that I believe in as a philosophical outlook and not a religious belief or a spiritual, well, spiritual in some ways.
Spiritual, yeah.
But not religious.
Ways. Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Are you aware that Lao Tzu is fiction?
Yes.
Historians now think there never was such a person.
Yeah, he was a conglomeration of different lessons that have passed down and stuff.
Yeah, he's a construction. He's a founder myth.
Yeah.
First we have the religion, and then we invent somebody and say this guy started it.
There's also, and you may know more about this than I do, that the Beatitudes specifically were influenced by Eastern thought that had traveled into the Middle East from the Far East over trade routes.
Yeah, you see a lot of Buddhism in the origins of Christianity. It's possible that Jesus is a founder myth as well. This is a minority position. I was just having a debate with a theology professor over at BU about this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a minority position, and he disagreed with me. But there isn't compelling historical evidence, setting aside all questions of faith and belief and just coming at it as a historian. There isn't actually compelling evidence for the historical existence of this person.
Yeah.
It remains possible, but did you ever read a book called Why I'm Not a Christian by Bertrand Russell?
No.
British philosopher?
Yeah, and I know of him.
You know of Russell, yeah. Right. So this is old now, but he's got a line in there that made a difference, started me on my own personal quest here. He says, of the historical Jesus Christ, that such a person existed is doubtful. If he did, we know nothing about him.
Right.
So I thought, this can't possibly be right. That so flies in the face of everything I was raised to believe as a young Irish Catholic. And after a lot of research, by the way, I don't expect to compel anyone, any listener, anybody, you know.
Yeah, we're not here to change anybody's belief system or thoughts or anything.
Absolutely not. And it would fail if we chose to do so. I'm just describing myself.
It's also, it's still an obscure classic rock radio show.
It is. But that seems to be where we are. There's, after a lot of digging, I don't mean by me personally, I mean by historians, what was called the quest for the historical Jesus, we have wound up in a place where maybe there was such a person, but doesn't